Piston, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Monday episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Matt Shook, and this is your daily look at the Detroit Pistons. You can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. We also got the Locked On Pistons Twitter account rolling at Locked On Pistons, very cleverly named. We're coming to you with a six-game losing streak in hand after the Pistons dropped a 91-81 game on Sunday afternoon to the Boston Celtics at Little Caesars Arena, moving the Pistons to 14-12. You'll remember a couple weeks back that they were 14-8, kind of the talk of the NBA after knocking off the Celtics in Beantown and then coming home to beat the Phoenix Suns after that. Well, it's been six straight losses since then. I am here at the Inglewood Avenue Studios in Royal Oak. That's my fancy name for my parents' house, so you'll excuse the audio not quite being hopefully up to par that we normally put out for the daily podcast as I'm recording on the phone and doing a little Spartan type of setup here in Royal Oak, the suburbs of Detroit. But we're going to be talking about the Sunday game a little bit more in the podcast today. And then I'm going to talk about some of Stan Van Gundy's comments after the game that I really feel like he did a great job of hitting the synopsis of the big picture, kind of keeping it a little even keel with the Pistons right now. I watched the post-game press conference on Fox Sports Detroit, as I usually don't do as I'm watching games, usually on League Pass where they kind of cut off right after. So I don't get to see a lot of Stan Van Gundy's press conference except for some of those hallway interviews that some of the beat writers do. But he was up at the podium and I was able to watch that one today. But I'm also going to be trying to talk maybe the Pistons fans off the ledge a little bit today because I feel a little bit better, judging from the Twitter responses that I'm getting and some of the stuff that I'm seeing from some of the diehard Piston fans out there on social media. I feel like maybe I think a little bit more highly or feel a little bit better about this team than many of you do, despite the six-game losing streak that is going on right now. But in a couple days, we're going to have another Draft Wednesday on Draft.com and the Draft app, so go ahead and sign up for that. Support your favorite Locked On Pistons podcast by signing up, throwing a little bit of money into your account, and when you do that, use promo code LOPISTONS, and we'll give you free entry into the Draft Wednesday contest that we do, which is the Locked On Pistons special contest that you can follow me on the app at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, Matt, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then that's all one word, the first and last name there. And then if you follow me, I will know to send you an invite into our private contest as well. But we're going to be talking about that 91-81 loss on Sunday night to the Boston Celtics. The team really struggled offensively. If you watch the game, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. For as far as just getting the ball in the basket, I'll talk a little bit later about my thoughts about how the offense went. But they trailed by as many as 18 points in the third quarter. One of the uglier games that the Pistons have had this year, especially, like I said, those middle two quarters. 19 points for Tobias Harris to lead the Pistons in scoring. But it was a bad shooting night number-wise for him, but I felt like it was an even worse shooting night for him when you watched the game and kind of saw how it all came together. The Pistons scored 37 points in the first half, which is the lowest half total that they had so far this season. And I thought about tweeting at halftime that I saw a lot of decent signs from the Pistons offensively in the first half. I know that sounds ridiculous after I just reported that they had their worst scoring output of the season, but they were just missing a lot of shots that were there, and that continued onto the third quarter as well. As here I am predicting that they're going to have a nice second half offensively, and then they go about 6 minutes scoreless to start the third quarter. So it was ridiculous that they were, like I said, under the 7 minute mark of the third quarter, still sitting at 37 points until some of the bench players and some of the other guys got hot as well. So not good times on the scoreboard, although I saw some decent things on the court. Tobias was 5 for 15 from the field, 3 for 9 from 3-point land. So 33% on both of those percentages, which is bad anyway you slice it. But like I said, not those numbers, 33% as far as an individual scoring, an individual game, those aren't jumping off the page enough to account about how bad they were, how he struggled. But I'm just watching the game. It felt like when they needed a basket or when the offense was just about to click or even late in the game, he had an open three-pointer that would have caused a big difference for the Pistons. He did not knock that one down. So it seemed like the misses for him came at bad times for the Pistons when they needed him. They got the lead down to 4 points and then three at one point late in the game with a nice run in the fourth quarter. As the truth be told, the Celtics really didn't play very well, especially offensively in this game as well. I thought they got the big lead in the third quarter after, like I said, not even playing that well for themselves as a team, and then we're going to coast to a road victory. But the Pistons had other ideas in the fourth quarter but could not seal the deal, and fans are frustrated about that because in the six-game losing streak, they were in most of those games. I think the game against Washington where they got blown out of the water in the third quarter there to start the second half was kind of the only game of this losing streak that they didn't have a really good chance of winning. Some bad execution down the line and maybe some bad calls as well against them that fans are very vocal about on social media as well. Anthony Tolliver had 15 points off the bench. Ish Smith had 11 points. That was a good sign for the Pistons to see the bench play well at times in this game after struggling recently, especially on that road trip that resulted in four of the six losses of this streak here. The bad news offensively, and it was ugly for some of those guys, Stanley Johnson only had 5 points in 15 minutes of action. He started but was planted on the bench for most of the rest of the game. You wonder what his status is with the rotation and the starting lineup and where he is. Is he inside the Stan Van Gundy doghouse right now that he seems to be perpetually in? It's just been a bit of a miserable season right now for Stanley, and we will see where it goes from here. The Pistons, obviously any team that's on a six-game losing streak is at a bit of a crossroads, but Stanley Johnson's season, and again, just a 21-year-old guy and has shown some signs defensively where he could maybe put together a good year if healthy, but it's not looking good for the youngster from Arizona right now. Andre Drummond had 6 points and 15 rebounds. You remember a couple weeks back that he killed Boston in TD Waterhouse, and he struggled and didn't really get much going offensively or really at any part of the game tonight. Reggie Jackson, who is hated by a lot of the fan base, and so this one isn't really going to help him there. 2 points on 0 for 9 shooting, just a miserable effort from Reggie in the loss. Frustrating. The frustration showed for Andre and Reggie. They both got called up for technical fouls after arguing calls. I thought Reggie's arguments were very valid. He was pushed around by Marcus Smart a little bit there on the defensive end and probably should have drawn at least one of those offensive fouls as they were right in front of officials as well. And they were kind of back-to-back, not back-to-back plays, but very, very close proximity and started getting into it with the ref and showing him up a little bit too as the ball hit. It was one of those plays where the inbounder rolled the ball up to him as Reggie was walking up the court alongside the ball and used that time when everyone was looking at him and everyone was kind of watching him to show up the official. So I don't have a problem with the technical foul call. It's a good call, but Reggie had reason to be upset, although he didn't handle it very well. Andre Drummond, on the other hand, he went up and tried to block a Jaylen Brown drive, and Brown kind of outstretched the arm and pushed off, and Drummond won an offensive foul on that one and was complaining to the official. Maybe there were some other calls that he was complaining about, too. I wasn't as upset about that one as a Pistons fan. And then Van Gundy, in the post-game interview, one thing he talked about that I didn't agree with was how Boban was, when he came in the second half, little cameo there, he was getting pushed in the back by Al Horford, kind of a double arm shove to get Boban out of position as the ball was coming down on the entry pass. They showed the replay of that after Van Gundy was complaining, and it didn't really look like much of a foul. It wasn't like he outstretched arms or really had much more than the usual contact either. So I didn't think it was necessarily appropriate for Van Gundy to single out that play, as it wasn't a glaring missed call as opposed to some of the Reggie Jackson calls and the late call that they missed when Avery Bradley had made a nice play and drew the foul and put up a three-pointer to get three free throws, but it wasn't called as I believe it was Kyrie, but one of the Celtics came around from behind, got at least some of the head and a little bit of body too. I don't think Fox Sports Detroit showed a good replay of that one, but it was pretty obviously should have been three shots for the Pistons at a time in the game where they needed those 3 points as they were trying to mount the end of that comeback that the Pistons were putting together. And if you're a Pistons fan, I mean, I hear you. Like I said, a lot of the fans on Twitter, they're upset about how the officials are going. We're not going to turn this podcast into a complaining about the officials thing, because some of the Duncan talks about this, and I think some of the other guys too. You know, the experts, the moderators of Pistons Twitter, officially and unofficially or whatever, some of those guys talk about how you can't blame the officials for losses, and I agree with that to, you know, most extents. But if you're a Pistons fan, and I know that fan bases of every sport probably complain about all the calls against them. In fact, not probably. They do complain about all the calls against them, but it's kind of stacking up for Pistons fans right now. They had the debacle earlier in the season with the replays against the Wizards in that loss. These are just ones off the top of my head, too. Joel Embiid drew the phantom foul in the sixth foul in Philadelphia against Drummond that got him out of the game in a close one. The loose ball foul called under Tobias Harris late underneath the basket against San Antonio, which gave them two free throws and made that a three-point game instead of a one-point game. And then Reggie Jackson on Friday night against Golden State taking the ball to the basket and getting hit by a couple of Warriors there in a controversial no-call against Golden State in that 102-98 loss there. So I know some of you fans out there might have some more examples of what you thought was some thievery or disrespect or something like that. And we're Lions fans too, so we always feel like the calls and the karma is going against us, and 50 plus years of reasons behind that. But I'm telling you, the presents are coming if you're in the Christmas spirit. Tuesday, the Denver Nuggets are coming to town. Thursday, the Pistons are going to Atlanta. A tough back-to-back with the Friday night game and the travel to Indiana the next night. But then Sunday, coming back home against the Orlando Magic. This really does feel like a 3-1 week coming up. And we'll be sitting here next week recording the podcast on Sunday night. We're putting it up for you to listen to on Monday morning. And feeling pretty good about things. Back to maybe a few games over 500 as opposed to just a couple of games over 500 right now. And then looking ahead from there, going up to the Christmas holiday, that's looking ahead to another even easier week after that, where you got Dallas, the New York Knicks, Indiana again, this time at home, and then the Orlando Magic. So, you know, you should be, if you're like me, you're looking at this six-game losing streak as a bit of a bump in the road. You're still, you know, confident about the rest of the season with this team. You feel like you're watching a playoff team, although I will pass along that right now, this team was sitting in second place in the Eastern Conference not very long ago at all, actually. And right now, as I tape this on Sunday night, seventh place in the Eastern Conference and one game ahead of the Knicks, who are eighth place. And not only that, but the eighth place Knicks are tied with the ninth place 76ers, who are currently outside of the playoffs. And like I said, just one game behind the Pistons. So it's a tumultuous spot they're in right now. Definitely some adversity. And I hear you. If you're one of those fans that's reacting strongly to the six-game losing streak, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. But I will tell you that, in my opinion, things are shaping up for a pretty good 2018 for the Pistons if you're looking forward. And that's going to start with a strong finish to 2017, mostly because of the schedule that comes up here. And if you're like me, that you should be pretty excited about Tuesday's game against Denver, because it's kind of the beginning of the season in many ways. Everyone around the league and everyone around the Pistons agrees that this stretch that they went on schedule-wise was as brutal as it gets. So it's kind of like New Year's all over again. So Tuesday, get excited for the second portion of the season to begin, maybe the second third of the season or something like that, to kind of look forward. But we're going to be talking about what Stan Van Gundy said today after the game and the loss, and what I was thinking about. He kind of said some of the things that I was thinking about when I watched the game today. So me and Stan were on the same wavelength about where this team is at right now, and maybe the perception and the differences in perception that fans and players and coaches might have at this point. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want that key demographic of men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Well, I wanted to talk about Stan Van Gundy's press conference after Sunday's loss to the Boston Celtics. First of all, a huge shout out and congratulations to Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, the Veterans Committee elected both of those former Detroit Tiger greats into the Hall of Fame, and they'll be elected next July. I wonder if I wonder how many Tigers fans are going to make the trek to upstate New York. I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame on a family trip, but that was a long, long time ago. I barely remember going, but a fun museum from all I've read about it, and I do remember going. It wasn't like it was when I was 3 years old or something like that. I was probably 6 or 7. I do remember some of it, but I would like to go back, but I'm 34 years old, and I think that the Trammell and Morris era is just a little bit before my time. I remember those guys late in their careers, but I don't remember 1984. I was 1 year old at the time. So, you know, if Verlander ever goes in as a Tiger, which I'm assuming will happen, and God willing, if I'm still around, whenever that day comes, maybe I'll make the trip at that point, maybe take my dad or something like that. That might be a fun time. But I'm wondering if any of the Locked On Pistons listeners will be going up to Cooperstown for that one. But going back to the Pistons here, Stan Van Gundy, after the 91-81 loss to the Celtics on Sunday, I feel like he kind of hit the nail on the head with some of the things that he was saying in the press conference after the game. Like I said, I was watching it on Fox Sports Detroit, just watching live as guys like Rod Beard and Vince Ellis and James Edwards questioned him about some of the things. And I'm referring here to James Edwards III of The Athletic. I'm pulling up his Twitter page right now as I get ready for this. But some of the quotes that he had as I was watching it, Stan Van Gundy said, "It seemed to me that we had a lot of makeable shots that didn't go in." And I kind of agree with him for that first half, really, especially the second quarter and the third quarter. I felt like the Pistons were running pretty good offense, getting some pretty good shots, but they really just weren't going down. That certainly happens sometimes in basketball. And you don't want that to happen so many times in the same game to the point where you lose an opportunity to knock off a really good team at home. But I agree with him on that point. And Stan Van Gundy, James continues to tweet, Stan Van Gundy using most of his roster tonight, he said, "That's called throwing things against the wall and hoping it sticks. I don't have a problem with Reggie Bullock getting quite a lot of minutes. I don't have a problem with Boban coming in the third quarter there and being pretty effective at times, including that highlight reel pass down low to Anthony Tolliver for the layup there." Stan Van Gundy said Avery Bradley's three-point attempt that looked like Kyrie Irving hit him in the head should have been called killed momentum. Again, I never saw a replay on Fox Sports Detroit on that, but it was kind of an audible make the call that me and my dad had as we were watching that game with such an important play at such an important time that the Pistons had all the momentum. And if he would have gotten the three free throws there, knocked down three of them, it's a lot different of a finish possibly than what we're talking about with a 10-point Pistons loss. So I agree with Stan there. Stan goes on to say, "We've lost some confidence and some spirit." And he, end quote, said this 6-game losing streak makes it seem like they aren't a good team, cited the tough block of their schedule. I completely agree with this. I feel like the Pistons going 12-3 at the beginning of the year or whatever it was. I mean, I don't think that's the correct number exactly, but the great start that they had, beating up on some pretty bad teams, but also beating some good teams as well. It was a little bit of a counterfeit start in terms of being the second best team in the NBA or something like that. Now, them sitting at 14-12, I feel like that's a little bit counterfeit too on the other way. They're somewhere in between where they were at that point in the early in the season and where they're at in the total standings right now at this point in the season. They got through a tough stretch. They're not going to have to play Golden State anymore. They're not going to have to play at Oklahoma City. They're not going to have to play at Boston. They're not going to have to play 2 road games in Milwaukee anymore. So, I mean, there's a lot of those games that you don't have to deal with anymore. So, you know, the tough schedule with the Staples Center, you know, twice in 3 nights like they did the other earlier in the season, sandwiched with that Warriors game as well. So they got a lot of that tough stuff out of the way. I mentioned how they're 7th in the Eastern Conference playoff standings right now. I suspect that they'll climb up a little bit as the season continues, especially in the next couple of weeks here, maybe find themselves back into the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race, somewhere in that 4, 5, or 6 spot. And then Stan continues to go on, "I'm trying to tell my team the truth and give them a little bit of balance. They weren't as good as everyone said they were, and they're not as bad as people are saying that they are now." So again, I'm going to act like I'm Stan Van Gundy to you guys, the listeners. I'm going to coach you up and tell you that, hey, I got to knock your confidence back down a little bit when things are going so well at the beginning of the year, and we got to try to build this up a little bit when we're on a little bit of a slide that's mostly because of a tough schedule. I can remember Stan Van Gundy earlier in the season talking about how Maybe we have to lose a game for the guys to listen to me a little bit. Well, maybe the Pistons have to continue losing a little bit for you guys to listen to me too. So to bring the whole metaphor around in circles there. But I wanted to talk about kind of where this team is at right now and give kind of a, like I said, going into Thanksgiving, we talked about how the tough 9-game stretch was coming out and where they were at that point, where they were going to be after that 8-game stretch, or 9-game stretch, not to fall off the bandwagon and to kind of roll with the punches a little bit. And I'm going to break down the next portion of the schedule and see where we're going to be at when Christmas time comes around. Now, again, I hate to say that I told you so, but I remember going into Thanksgiving, I wrote it down, actually, and I said the Pistons might go 3-6 down this stretch, and it was looking pretty good at first with wins against the Oklahoma City Thunder and then Boston and then Phoenix, but then they lost 6 in a row. So, yeah, it looks pretty ugly when you talk about a 6-game losing streak, especially coming after another couple of big wins against the Thunder and the Celtics on the road, but it is what it is. That's what the schedule is set up. And if you look at the Pistons' schedule in totality and what they've done so far, I believe that there are a lot more quality wins than there are bad losses. And the quality wins, thinking about things like at Golden State, at Minnesota, at Oklahoma City, at Boston, those quality wins stand out a lot more than some of the bad losses, which aren't really even that bad of losses. At Indiana during a tough stretch, calendar-wise, I think it was a 3 games in 4 days night. At the Lakers when you were finishing off a West Coast road trip, at Washington because they were without John Wall and that was a very winnable game, and then home against Philly, and Philly's a pretty good team, you know, going to be another fringe playoff contender as well. So really, when you're talking about those four games, Indiana, the Lakers, Washington, and Philly, a little bit of schedule losses in there. Indiana's playing pretty well. They've also played a pretty tough schedule. Maybe I'm underestimating them, even suggesting that might be a bad loss. We'll find out with 2 matchups against them in the next couple weeks. But a lot of winnable games on the schedule. If you look, take a peek ahead, I'm seeing 4 games against the Chicago Bulls, 4 games with the Brooklyn Nets, although they're not the pushover that they have been in years past, but 3 more with Atlanta, a couple games against Dallas. I think that this 14-12 stretch turns into a Christmas time where we're talking maybe more about, you know, an 18-14 type of team. So move up to about that 4 or 5 games above 500 before heading into the new year here. So basically, long story short, don't panic, Pistons fans. I'm looking at teamrankings.com, does an NBA strength of schedule. Even before the Pistons game against the Celtics, they were rated as the 3rd toughest schedule so far, and they use this for the betting odds. And then ESPN.com has the ratings percentage index, the RPI strength of schedule for NBA teams. Again, this one is before the Boston game as well, and this also had the Pistons as the 3rd toughest schedule in the league. Now, these RPI rankings for the ESPN also do have Philadelphia at number 1, Indiana at number 4, Miami number 5, Charlotte at number 6. So the Eastern Conference peers, quote-unquote, going into the season that the Pistons were kind of lumped in with, they're also playing some tough schedules as well. So don't let their records fool you as we look ahead to the 2018 stretch of the season too. So obviously a lot of basketball to be played, but I'm trying to calm the Pistons fans down a little bit. I know it's Monday morning now as you listen to this, and it's been a little bit of a tough stretch, and you might be down about the Pistons as you're looking ahead to, you know, a slog of the Red Wings season continuing on here. The Pistons or the Lions giving a little bit of hope, but probably ultimately not reaching the playoffs, I would imagine, probably getting their hearts broken by Aaron Rodgers and others as the season continues. So just trying to shine a little ray of hope, despite the fact that you might be down about the 6-game losing streak. But tomorrow, we're going to have an in-depth look at the Denver Nuggets. They were on the road on Sunday and lost in overtime to the Pacers. So what might be the most important game of the year when you're coming off of a six-game losing streak, hoping not to have it reach 7 and hoping to turn things around for a good positive stretch of winnable games coming up. I'm looking at it kind of like it's New Year's Day a little bit, with the Pistons kind of looking ahead to the next game. So we're going to talk about those Denver Nuggets, some familiar faces with Gary Harris, the former Michigan State Spartan. Will Jokic play is another thing that we'll be talking about on Tuesday's podcast, as well as we prepare for one of the, you know, the league pass favorites. Some of the NBA Twitter people and some of the in-depth NBA fans really like this Denver Nuggets team with a lot of young talent on there. So we'll take a nice look at them, a Western Conference foe that we obviously don't see quite a bit as the seasons roll on here. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday as we try to get through the six-game losing streak together.